You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, how's it going? Bonus episode time. I'm going to turn up my volume just a little bit here. Turn it up. I ain't going. That's why you do a mic check, level check at a time. We don't know what we're doing. Don't know what's going on. What's up? I am Chris Crespo. You are listening to Cinema Crespediso. What is up, you dumb shits?
You tell me, Chris.
Hey!
That's your job, right?
It's that guy. I recognize that voice. Is that Drew Sikogwart over there?
What's up, dude?
Is that Drew?
Yeah.
With the shiny glow of after New York glow of a man who's been stuffed with pork belly.
I'm not sure if it's an after New York glow. I just did work 3 days, and man, those 3 days when I got back were not pleasant.
Oh yeah, it's been a few days. Honeymoon's over. Drew Sikogwart and fresh off his New York City trip, in part to see Prophets of Rage, but in part to do other things.
Yes, Prophets of Rage was awesome.
Yeah, how was the show, man?
The show was fantastic. It was
at the Barclays Center, right?
It was a part Rage Against the Machine show. It was also a part Cypress Hill show.
How many Cypress Hill songs do you think they played?
Two? Well, three? They played...
It's in the brain.
No, hang on. They played that. They played that. They also played...
Hits from the Bong.
If I Could Just Kill a Man.
If I Could Just Kill a Man.
But they played... They covered the whole song. They covered the whole song.
It's a pretty rocking song. That one makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
During the medley, the band wasn't on stage.
Oh, they did a medley of... Okay.
Of Cypress Hill songs and...
And Public Enemy songs.
Chuck D was there, and it was
that's so cool.
Because at one point in time, I stopped for a second, and I was like, "Now I'm at a hip hop concert,
yeah,
in Brooklyn. This is interesting.
That is cool. That is very cool.
Yeah.
So the band got off, and a DJ just did the music.
The DJ that they had, I think it's the guy from Cypress Hill, because he's the DJ for Prophets of Rage.
True. So he was up there still DJing during Prophets of Rage stuff?
Yeah, well...
Adding DJ stuff to Rage songs?
No. During the Rage songs, he was sitting down behind his thing, just like doing one of these.
Because
I could kind of see behind it.
Okay.
Just kind of doing one of these.
Like, rocking a little bit, drinking, chilling, bopping to the
drinking
music.
Drinking his bottle of water and just chilling.
Enjoying the Prophets of Rage show.
Really getting into it sometimes, too.
Seats in the house,
he's
man.
He's obviously a fan of Rage Against the Machine.
That's cool. Oh, that's awesome. Highlight song, any songs stuck after you that you're like, man, this is great.
Bulls on Parade was awesome. Yeah. Bomb Track was pretty good.
Bomb Track, yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
I mean,
classics. Bulls on Parade, I think they played Bulls on Parade when I saw them that one time. I only saw five songs. That's it. A five song set. They were done.
I mean, and then what's the standout track when you think,
Rage Against the Machine? I mean, their biggest hit is Killing in the Name.
That's what they fucking ended with.
That's what they ended with.
Yeah, that was the...
Fuck you, I won't
exactly.
Do what you tell me.
Yeah.
Make America Trump Again or whatever. Make America Rage Again.
Rage Again, yeah. No, it was pretty cool.
Did you feel any sort of political presence during the show itself, during the set?
A little bit. Only because, Tom Morello.
Yeah, and, yeah, I want to know if they brought that.
He said a couple of things, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but it didn't feel too, like...
No.
Political rally-ish.
Not really. I mean, he said a couple of things. I mean, he's like, but that's why you guys are here. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's preaching to the choir.
Exactly.
That's true. There's a couple of douche bros out there in that audience who like Rage Against the Machine.
I'm sure.
They're everywhere. You can't ignore them.
No.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Where were your seats?
We were second level. I think... Section 10, row 16.
Like in the middle somewhere, middle back. All right, let me ask you this. When the band started, did everyone in the seats stand up?
Yes.
Oh, why? When did this start happening?
Every time. Yeah, well, yes. Immediately. Well, I mean, dude, it's Rage. Like, even I wanted to stand because, like, people were, like, fucking getting into it, dude.
But you're standing.
Yeah,
you have half a foot of space.
I know.
What are you going to do? Bop around like a bunch of white people.
There were, during the Prophets of Rage songs that I weren't too familiar with, Yeah. That's where I decided to take my sitting breaks, where I would sit down and fucking smoke a cigarette real quick.
They had Prophets of Rage songs? They had original songs?
They had original songs.
I didn't know that.
They're not that. They're okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So, you know, during that, I sat down, you know, got to catch a breather from my legs. I'm getting old, man.
Yeah, you are. You're an old
and
man.
And it's, you know, the show was late, too. Like, I didn't get out of there until, like, 11:30.
That is late for you, old man. That is late for you, old man. Well, who opened?
AWOL Nation. So they had that song Sail that you're familiar with?
I am familiar with it.
You're familiar with it. Sail! Bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow. I was going to look it up, but...
Yeah, no, do it. Look it up.
No, you got it. You got it. I got it.
You know the song.
No, I don't, but...
Look it up.
I probably do, though.
Anyway, that band, because of that song, I figured they were like some radio friendly, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know anything about them. And they sounded more like a more poppy System of a Down.
Okay.
Which was weird. Like, they got fucking heavy.
Got a little hard rocky.
Yeah. I was surprised. But they ran the gamut of types of songs too. They had ballads and all sorts. It was weird.
True.
And it was strange. Both me and Bill were very confused.
Can I ask you this? Did you look up their music like on Spotify later?
Don't care.
I would not be surprised. This has happened to me plenty of times. I've seen bands live. I'm like, oh, this band's like pretty rocking. They're pretty heavy. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
And then I go to the same songs recorded and that oomph is gone.
Sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time. It's surprising. Like, oh, this band was rocking my face off live, but in a recorded version, I don't know.
Not
it
so
just
much.
It feels flat and tinny and weird. That's a strange thing. Anyway. That was the only band?
Yeah, that was it.
One band. And boom. Yeah. How long did you play? Hour and a half?
Who? AWOL Nation?
Prophets of Rage.
Oh, Prophets of Rage? Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Almost two, not actually.
Bad. Almost two? All right, not bad. Encore?
No.
Did they announce no encore?
I like when bands do that. They didn't announce no encore, but they played, and then at the end, like right as it was done, the drummer gave away both of his cymbals. So I was like, that's a good giveaway.
I mean, they have cymbals on back, but sure. The drum set has been dismantled.
Yeah, and then they were like, all right, take a picture. You know, so they took a picture for their social media with everybody. Everybody put up their right fist and then a peace sign for the second one. So everybody, you know. So it was, that many people putting that up. And then, they walked off stage and the house music came on. So that was that.
We did get the fuck out.
Yeah.
We got to clean this place up for a circus. It's a summer. Sounds awesome. Sounds like a good show.
It was.
Cool, man. Well, I'm glad you made it and you had a good time.
Yeah.
And Billy, all of them.
Yeah, they all made it. We all had a good time.
I ate a bunch of food.
Yep. We all had a bunch of food.
Highlight food. Highlight meal. Quick. Highlight.
Ooh, probably the barbecue before the show.
Barbecue right before the show?
Yeah.
Specific type of barbecue?
Oh, it was just barbecue. I mean, it was kind of Southern inspired. Mm-hmm. There, I don't...
All the way to, went all the way into sides, New York City to get some of that Southern barbecue.
Their barbecue is good. They don't get the fucking sides right. I don't know who these fuckers are, but they do not do Southern sides properly.
Yeah, because it's the North, man.
Yeah, yeah. I need to go up there and show them what the fuck's up. Because obviously...
Or go up there and eat what they do right, like the bagels and the pizza.
That place was packed.
Really?
Like... The entire time we were there, packed. Like,
so even if we open like a Four Rivers level style place up there, people would lose their minds.
They would lose their minds because the sides would be off the chain.
And the sides of Four Rivers aren't even that good, man.
No.
What's up with their
salad? These motherfuckers don't know how to do Southern sides.
Interesting.
Proper.
No fried pickles up there? No good fried pickles?
They weren't right.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
They fried the whole pickle, man. You're supposed to cut them up in the chips, brother.
The pickle that they used was wrong. They're like, they're all fancy. This is New York. This is some fancy weird pickle with some strange vinegars and it's all hot. It's not a fucking Southern dill, super salty, super vinegary pickle.
It's sandwich chip.
Yeah.
Pickle chip.
That's what I want.
Yeah, it's got to be a basic ass pickle.
Yes.
You got to know when to go basic. You got to know when to get that French's yellow mustard.
Exactly.
That's funny, interesting. But still, the barbecue was substantial.
Yeah, barbecue was awesome.
Well, the meat itself.
And the dumplings my first day were good, too.
Oh, the dumplings.
Yeah, dumplings on day one.
Nice.
I was so high. We ordered fried dumplings, and they gave us steamed ones, and both of us totally forgot that we had ordered fried, and it was somebody else's food, but we ate it anyway.
Ha ha. You're like, fuck it.
It was delicious.
I'm hungry. This is still going to be good no matter what.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. Chef was just like, these guys are too high. They don't fry it. Just steam it. Give them steam ones.
Exactly.
We dropped these steam ones on the floor.
Whatever. They were good.
Did you take any sweet pictures with stickers anywhere?
No. I got way too high and didn't really walk around all that much.
Spent that time, made that whole list.
Yeah, I made the list, brought a bunch of stickers with me, and didn't do shit with it.
That's like voting for yourself. You gotta do it. Yep. All right, well, you had a good time, and you're back, and it's all good.
Correct.
Good job, dude. Thanks for that report.
Very welcome.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Proverbs of Rage. Good stuff. Recommend people see them. They're playing in October in Tampa. There might still be tickets on sale because it's not an arena.
Probably.
Would you recommend people getting them nosebleed seats? At this point, I would get a nosebleed seat so I can fucking sit down and chill the whole time.
I mean, the light show is cool.
Bring a spliff.
You know, if you
want, I'm not expecting a Tool level visual show.
The show itself is very good. If you want to be confused for 45 minutes before Prophets of Rage, you know, show up for AOL Nation. If not, you can totally skip on them. It's totally, not worth it.
Right.
But you know, I mean, it's really up to you. You're going to be there a little bit late.
True.
And at least at the Barclays, I walked back to Brianna's place.
Oh, it's right there in the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be like the downtown soccer stadium. We're just going to be like a block away from downtown.
Oh, seriously.
You'll just be walking to.
Walking for that arena show was great. Seeing all the people there reminded me how much I hate driving to arena shows.
Yeah.
All the parking.
Yeah.
And the nonsense.
Or leaving.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Getting there or leaving. It's all just a pain in the ass.
Any sort of event where like 15,000 people or it more sucks. Are showing up at the Ooh. Same time.
Speaking of events, I actually got an email today. My the Baroness show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was originally scheduled to Beecham.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit bigger of a venue.
Yeah. It holds what? 500? No, I know. It holds 1,100 people. Tops. Maxed out 1,100.
Hey, guess what? Got an email? Mm-hmm. Got moved to the social.
Smaller venue.
I love the fucking social.
That place holds like a few hundred.
I know. It's tops. It's gonna be awesome.
And really, that's the front. No one. It's like not even considering people because no one goes into that spillover room in the back during the show.
It's gonna be an intimate night with Baroness.
If I had my druthers, I would see pretty much any show ever at the social.
Yes. Yeah. If I had a choice. Yeah, if I had a choice,
I was going to that place when it was a Sapphire Supper Club, man.
I wasn't there for that, but the fucking that place is so small.
It's so small,
but the stage is
it's right there.
For some reason, it works.
The sound is fantastic. That's another thing.
Yeah, and it just works.
The sound is always great there. Whereas at the Beecham, the few times I've been there, the sound's always been muddy.
Yeah,
always.
Well, muddy. And it's a bigger venue. So
yeah, so it's harder to get the sound right, and no. Those are like super rumbly.
I mean, yeah,
I can't hear any of that.
I mean, the light show was cooler for between the Barry to me at the Beecham, but
because they had more stage to work with.
But
they sounded so much better at the social.
Exactly.
Oh my god!
And it was colors.
Fucking melted my face off with that. Seeing Dillinger there, melted my face.
Melted my face almost.
Almost with that fireball.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know if I want to go to the one that's State Theater in St. Pete. It's going to be the last go around, but it's like State Theater is like more of a Beecham style venue.
Okay.
I was really banking on them playing the social. Last time I saw them was with you,
yeah,
Maddie J, at the social. They finished with 43% burnt. The guitarist was on the stage standing. No, he was on the bar.
Standing behind us,
between us. Yeah. Like we were standing there like his Roman sentries or whatever.
Yeah, he was like rocking out. It was weird because the entire, everybody turned around.
He stuck up on us.
Yeah,
I was like looking, I was like, is he going to blow a fireball? I was looking about the stage. There's so much going up on the stage that he snuck up on us.
And everybody turned around and stared at me. And I'm like, what? Chris did, oh my God. Yeah. There's the dude.
Look over his shoulder. The guy's going, like right over our shoulders.
That's pretty awesome.
And that was the last time I've seen them.
Yeah.
The St. Pete, that show's not going to top it.
No.
That's not going to top that experience.
No, definitely not.
So do I do the solemn duty of making that fucking trek and spending the money and doing
it's
all that?
It's the last show that, seriously.
It's going to be the last time they're going to do
it. It's the last show. Tickets are cheap.
Yeah, the tickets are cheap.
And I'll cover the hotel room. You just got to take the day off.
When's the date of it anyway?
It's a Thursday night.
What's the date?
October something.
October 13th. Tell me it's the day before day we already have plans or something.
Hang on. Do we already have plans for something?
You got that. I'm going to censor this.
Oh.
All right, back. And we're back.
I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't want to say it out loud because I don't want people to know my exact whereabouts at all times, even though now we're talking about We're supposed to be talking about movie news.
I know. Hang on. Dillinger Escape Plan. Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, sorry, November 10th. It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
Thursday night at 7 p.m., November 10th.
November 10th.
State Theater.
Thursday, September 10th. All
right. I mean, all right. Seriously, we should get tickets before they go out. I mean, it's the last show.
It's a pretty big, I mean, relatively speaking, it's for Beecham size. They get a hold of 1,000 people. It's not going to sell out. That's why Dillinger's calling it quits at 40, because they can't sell out places bigger than that. Okay. They never could.
Well, if you... Let me know when you want to go. I'll get the tickets.
I'll make a
if you want to go.
I'll make a decision soon. Off mic and off my conversation.
It's like $17.50, bro.
That's not the issue. That's not the issue at all, for sure. Like, the ticket prices are the one thing that's keeping me from fucking going to concerts.
Anyway. Yeah, that's not the issue here.
Yeah, not at all. So, anyway. Guys, this is a spillover movie news bonus episode. We did want to recap with Drew. This is the first time back, so I wanted to get that recap done. I appreciate that, but we're going to catch up all the movie news that I didn't squeeze into the last episode, that I did, 190, and, between then and now, rest in peace. We never do rest in peace because that shit's sad.
Yeah.
It's a bummer, but, I mean, this is a dude who, he's in our intro, man, our normal show
he's
intro.
He wasn't everything
for a while. It's I pretty fan, everyone.
All the stuff he does.
Everyone. It's a pretty sad blow. 2016 claims another one. Gene Wilder, man. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder.
What a shitty year.
Isn't that crazy?
So many people have gone this year.
Like legends. But
yeah.
Most beloved. People who are still working. People who have stopped working, but are still like, oh, at least he's, you know, Gene Wilder, man. He makes kids smile. He's still, kids still recognize him.
He makes me smile.
Which is a crazy thing. Apparently it was complications from Alzheimer's.
It happens.
Which he didn't want to know why he was alive, because he didn't want people to get bummed out if they saw him.
Yep. Alzheimer's is awful.
Terrible. It's a pretty terrible thing, and it sucks. What's your favorite? Everyone loves Willy Wonka.
Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
Hands down.
Sure, man. That's such a daring, fucking bold movie. People say that movie wouldn't be made today. I don't know. Might have to agree with that, I guess.
I mean, with the PC culture we live in, they would never get released.
But the thing about the movie, though, is about skewering that shit. But would it? I don't know.
It's whatever. Well, it's, no, the movie's fantastic.
In the era of Django Unchained and The Hateful Eight, Mel Brooks, what he was doing with Blazing Saddles, much more nuanced and thoughtful.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem it on the surface, but it is. I think it could be made. It would still kick up a shitstorm.
Oh, yeah, it would.
People would be fucking talking about
it. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, but it is great. Personal for Gene Wilder performance for me when I was younger. It's part of the reason why the clip is in our normal intro. I'm a huge fan of Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I love Young Frankenstein. Also Mel Brooks. Yes. And then there's the movies he did with Richard Pryor.
Which, you know, man, Speak No Evil,
Silver Streak, Stir Crazy. You know, that crazy run those guys did together. They were an interesting
duo.
Yeah. Oh, Gene Wilder. Anyway, obviously will be missed. I mean, lived a pretty fulfilled life to his mid-80s. It sucks due to Alzheimer's, but while it's very sad, it's not necessarily a tragedy. Average lifespan is like 72,
exactly.
73.
No, he lived to in his mid-80s, he died of Alzheimer's. That sounds about right. Good job. You made it, buddy. Yeah.
So not a tragedy, but still very, very sad.
Well, it's still a tragedy. It is a tragedy, but it's not a tragedy.
Yeah. It's a loss of a national treasure in a way. Definitely wanted to bring that up, though. But let's get into some other news, and we're going to do this all pretty quick to get out of here. Who do you think, I'm not even going to say who, for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, it's been revealed a while ago that Kurt Russell is playing Star-Lord's father.
Yes.
Right? And then it was revealed recently that Star-Lord's father is the human incarnation, the human version of Ego, the living planet.
Yes.
Which means, for people who don't read comic books,
if you've ever seen a picture of Ego the Living Planet, I can kind of imagine Kurt Russell's face as that.
Yeah.
Like, on there.
Just slap his face, make it a little kind of craggly, put a beard and slap it on a planet.
Yep.
Talking to people in outer space. People, like, when I say Ego the Living Planet, it's literal. Yeah. It's literal.
Yes.
In the movie, obviously, he's going to play the human version of him. Maybe they will show a flashback of some sort. But anyway, they were casting that role, and they were thinking about it, and it was Chris Pratt's idea. He's the one who threw Kurt Russell's name out to James Gunn and all the producers. Like, what if we get Kurt Russell to play my dad?
Hell yeah.
Which, duh, good job, Chris Pratt. Who wouldn't want Kurt Russell to be their dad in a movie?
Seriously.
Right?
Who wouldn't just want Kurt Russell to be their dad?
So, Drew, if you were making a movie and then you were making a sequel or you get the cast, figure out who's going to play your dad, who would you cast as your dad? I'm going to tell you who I would cast as your dad, but first I want to hear what you would say.
I have to think about that. Hang on.
Well, in the meantime, I will pull up the quote here. This is from this guy. What's his name? The James Gunn fella, the guy who did Super and directed the first Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn said he was actually not talking about Kurt Russell. He was not actually in my head initially, but one day Chris suggested him, and I would have been really disappointed if he said no. Hey, if you have to cast anything, Kurt's a pretty good way to go. 100% James Gunn, I agree. Guardians of the Galaxy come out May 5th, 2017. Ooh, that's the Iron Man, Captain America, Avengers spot. God damn, Marvel has faith in Guardians of the Galaxy. If I was James Gunn, I would sort of be shitting my pants.
I mean...
All right, Drew, I need your answer, brother.
William Hurt would be an awesome dad.
William Hurt as your dad, that'd be awesome. That would be great.
I know, right?
That would be great. I was thinking for you, your dad should be played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm totally okay with that.
Or it just came to be split second right at the end, Keanu Reeves.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or maybe Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes, that's more wish fulfillment for you. I'm saying these guys actually kind of fit a physical profile.
Well, hey, William Hurt fits a physical profile.
William Hurt, that's a great fucking fantastic. I would never have thought of it too. William Hurt's fantastic. Yeah. For me, if I was going to get to cast my dad in a movie, I would totally cast 1994 Sharon Stone. Because then we would just get her coked up and we'd just have sex in the trailer all the time.
Sweet.
We'd even make a movie. Yeah. Just by hanging out with Sharon Stone. Mm-hmm. Was she married at the time? Who cares?
Probably. Who cares?
Here we go. Another Marvel thing. This is a weird little Marvel tidbit, Drew. Shout out to Radio Edgy, Steve Edgy.
All bad.
Because he used the word tidbit. He's coming in. He's coming in this weekend. Did I tell you, Drew?
Yes, he did.
Okay. According to Joe Russo, one of the Russo brothers who worked on the TV show Community, and now they're like shepherding the whole Marvel thing after Joss Whedon, right? They did the Captain America, the last two movies, and they're doing the Infinity War movies. They had a different idea for Captain America 3 that wasn't the Civil War storyline. It was before they even knew if they had Robert Downey Jr. or not.
Yeah.
Because that was a big question for a while. So here is a quote from Entertainment Weekly. It was not a given that we were even going to do Civil War when we were talking about the next movie after Winter Soldier, so there was a period of time when we explored possibilities for Cap stories that did not include it. We spent a few weeks doing that, although Civil War came up fairly early in the process, and once that happened, it took over our brains, we ran hard at it. All right, here we go. There was a period where we did discuss a third act that revolved around the Mad Bomb from Cap mythology. It didn't have anything to do with Civil War. And if we couldn't get Downey, in the very, very early conversations before we nailed him, somebody pitched the idea of a third act that revolved around the Mad Bomb, which makes people crazy. It almost like zombifies them, but not literally.
Okay.
So Captain America almost fought
the Mad Bomb.
28 days later style zombies. Yes.
Sweet.
Not real zombies, but people infected. So then the whole thing would have been Captain America was having to fight citizens who have been turned against him. So where does he draw the line?
He can't kill them.
He can't kill them. He's got to knock out a bunch of fake zombies. That's almost the Captain America 3 we got.
Cool. That would have been cool.
That would have been interesting.
No.
So that means Russo's got that in the background. That's the thing with Marvel. They have all these little stories, all these little nuggets and things that they can pull from. Yeah. For decades and decades worth of shit that they can cherry pick. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
It says here the Captain America Civil War comes out on DVD in September.
Good for it.
Fox, when they made Deadpool earlier this year, Deadpool made a ton of money. Mm-hmm. They made it for $60 million, which is cheap for a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason, that's the only reason pretty much why they were able to make it.
Mm-hmm.
By they, I mean the writers, directors, Ryan Reynolds, right? Fox wanted to keep cutting corners. So when they started production on the movie, Fox did not want to pay to have the screenwriters on set.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds paid for that out of pocket to be able to have the writers there so they can keep working on the thing as they went along.
Good for him and fantastic idea. Without that of happening, the movie probably would not have been as good as it is.
Right, exactly. And Fox was like, that's why movies like Fantastic Four don't work out. Mm-hmm. Because Fox finds ways to manipulate the production
yes.
in the worst ways possible. With Deadpool, they tried to fuck it up. Like, no, you can't have your writers on set. Like, what? We're making a movie. We need writers. So Ryan Reynolds, as a producer, paid for it, and he had the back end deal too. So
smart man.
Yeah. So up front, he got paid like $2-4 million. Like, really, for him, for an actor of his stature.
On the back end, I bet you got a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, based on that gross. Good for him too. Good for him. You hear about that Ben Affleck Twitter tease, yo?
No.
What he did with the Justice League?
Nope. Did he show a nipple?
Mm. Three of them. Nice. He has a superfluous third. No, that's Roger Moore. I was watching a James Bond movie the other day. I got my shit mixed up. Ben Affleck tweeted footage from his phone of a monitor from onset of Justice League.
Okay.
On the monitor, it's like kind of looking like a, I don't know, like a warehouse or a facility, some bullshit. I don't know. But a character is walking towards the camera. It's like a very dramatic shot, very, very much like a character reveal. Character introduction looks like it'll probably be slowed down, add a bunch of special effects to it.
Mm-hmm.
The character is the villain Deathstroke.
Sweet.
Who is Slade Wilson.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Deadpool's Wade Wilson is started as a satirical spoof take on this character.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a weird,
it is.
A weird connection between the two stories here.
Yeah, man.
But so it looks like Deathstroke is going to be a villain in the Justice League movie.
Cool.
And Deadline Hollywood he's got the split mask. No. Deadline claims, reports somehow, no source revealed, that he's going to be the main villain in the solo Batman movie.
Sure.
That Ben Affleck's going to work on. Which also reports are that he'll be the main villain. The movie may be a whole, like, taking place in the Arkham thing, which I think we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So a ton of villains will be involved. But I guess he'll be the ringleader. Anyway.
Maybe the one who sets it off.
But he's being introduced in Justice League, so that's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible. All right, real quick, getting out of the comic book news, Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm. The Judgment Day.
3D.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
So that's coming.
Awesome.
2017.
Let's watch it.
James Cameron has been overseeing a 3D conversion of the film. He skipped doing a conversion of the first one because he said the gritty, low-budget aesthetic just doesn't translate well.
Mm-hmm.
But the much more polished, high-budget sequel has a more universal, long-lasting appeal.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he's all gung-ho for doing a 3D convert on that.
Sweet.
And that'll be coming out sometime next year. Do you remember when they were... how they dropped plans to re-release all the Star Wars movies in 3D?
Yes, I do.
You turned away from the mic and then you almost headbutted. That was pretty funny. Too bad this is not a video. They put out the first episode one, and people are like, we do not want to see this shit.
Correct.
And then it made no money, and they completely abandoned the whole costing. Is very, you know, if the movie is not even going to make $5 million at the box office,
there's no point.
There's no point. In this article, Cameron says the conversion is a $7 million process. So if your re-release is going to make, even for, include some budgeting, it's got to make $20, $30, $40 million in the box office to make that money. T2 3D, I think, would make that money.
It will.
But T2 3D is the name of the ride at a...
Yeah, but exactly.
So it's Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yes.
3D, Judgment Day, excuse me. That'll be sometime in 2017. Then, of course, all the Avatar movies. I just read an interview. I don't have this story here. I only got one left. I read an interview with Stephen Lang. You know, because the whole Don't Breathe thing, and which is getting a lot of buzz. People really like that movie. Like it a lot. People like it more than I do, I think. But
I'll probably go see it tomorrow.
You'll enjoy it. It's fun. Yeah, definitely see it so you can talk about it this weekend. Because, yeah. Please see it, actually. Stephen Lang, he was talking about the Don't Breathe stuff, and then someone asked him about Avatar, because I even noticed this on IMDb. His character, the Quattric character, the general guy with the scarred face, he died in that first movie.
Okay.
But he's listed on IMDb as being in all the movies.
Okay.
Avatar 2, 3, and 4.
Interesting.
And so people ask him about it, and he's like, yeah, well, he's obviously, he can't talk about how the character works into the whole thing, but that he will be working on it, and, he said Cameron is just like coming up with ideas that are so big and crazy that he then has to invent technology to make it happen. That's why it's going to be 10 years between Avatar 1 and Avatar 2.
Okay.
Because his imagination has gone so off the rails that he has found problems to come up with that he has to work around.
Nice.
That he has to invent stuff to work around. So, you know, as much as I'm not looking forward necessarily to returning to the world of Avatar and all those characters and stuff, I am looking forward to seeing what James Cameron cooks up, technologically speaking.
Yeah, it could be fun.
I hope so.
I mean, spent
a lot of time and money doing it.
We'll see.
Drew, what'd you drink? Star Trek beer.
Star Trek beer?
Star Trek beer is here.
Yeah, no.
No? Not. You wouldn't drink it?
No.
Well, you wouldn't drink a 50th anniversary golden ale called The Trouble with Tribbles?
Probably not.
How about one called Voyage to the Northeast Quadrant, a sessionable 5% pale ale?
No.
No? Not interested?
Nope.
No? Uh-huh. This is available.
Not interested.
From Schmaltz Brewing.
Don't give two shits.
You don't give two shits about Schmaltz Brewing, nope. Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Stargate. Iraq ran. I married. Telegraph, telephone, telewoman.
No, I don't know. No. Sounds like an awful beer.
All right. Well, guys, if you can get your hands on that beer, it's not available in Florida. If you get your hands on it, try it, taste it. Let us know, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, how it tastes. Or you can tweet us at Crespediso or Facebook us, Cinema Crespediso, and let us know what do you think about The Trouble with Tribbles. All right, that's 30 minutes right here. Drew, tell people where you can find you online.
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
Send him your favorite Brooklyn-related gifs. I am at I am Chris Crespo and other places on interwebs under my normal name. If you can find me, find me. Find me, yo. We'll be back this weekend with episode 191 with Etchy, Labor Day weekend episode. It's gonna be good stuff. Thanks, guys. Right here.